This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 15th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at the discussion in the Illinois General Assembly over checking children's toys with ingredients that could be harmful. We'll also have a forecast from meteorologist Scott Oltoff. First, today's news. As many as 2 million people in Myanmar are struggling to survive the aftermath of the recent cyclone there, but a University of Illinois professor does not think they'll turn on their government. F.K. Lehman was raised in the nation once known as Burma and studies its culture. He says the vast majority of its citizens have no access to outside information and thus will accept the military government's explanation for a lack of relief.
I think that the government is quite correct in thinking that if it uses the situation correctly, it can increase its hold on the population by saying, you see what happened? We're the ones that have been trying to do something. Nobody else will help you. And everybody will believe it.
Lehman believes the suffering in Myanmar will last more than a year after the storm, and not just because of damage or disease. He says most of the country's rice crop for this year has also been wiped out. Jurors will start deliberating in earnest today in the fraud trial of one of Governor Ral Blagojevich's biggest fundraisers, Tony Rezko. Robert Wildebor has more.
Jurors started deliberations late Tuesday afternoon, but they had only about 20 minutes before the end of the day. That was just long enough for them to decide on a schedule. They'll meet Mondays through Thursdays, 9:15 to 4:30. That schedule could be an indication that they don't think they'll come to a verdict in just a day or two. Jurors have to go through every allegation, assess all the evidence, and then come to a unanimous decision about each charge. It's a process they'll have to go through 24 times, as there are 24 counts against Rezko. Potentially streamlining the process is the fact that Rezko's lawyers didn't present a case, which cuts down on the evidence jurors will have to wade through. The defense strategy consisted solely of sowing doubt in jurors' minds by attacking the credibility of each of the government's witnesses. I'm Robert Wildebor.
The third trial of a Champaign community activist may only be over one charge instead of two. Yesterday, a judge hearing the case against Patrick Thompson dismissed a home invasion charge, leaving only a less serious charge of sexual abuse. Thompson is accused of entering a woman's home in 2004 and fondling her. Newspaper and online reports both say the judge decided that prosecutors hadn't offered enough evidence for jurors. Thompson has been on trial twice before. One ended in a hung jury. The second ended in conviction but was later overturned. If Illinois were to establish civil unions, advocates say it's widowed seniors and not gay couples who would mostly reap the benefits. Amanda Vinicky has more on a new approach to spur support for civil unions.
The idea is that many widowed seniors are in committed relationships but choose not to remarry because they would lose their deceased spouse's pension and Social Security benefits. Because they're not married, these seniors may be prevented from visiting their partner in the hospital. It's the same situation gay and lesbian partners face. Proponents say civil unions can give senior couples these rights while at the same time ensuring they don't lose their financial benefits. Peg Agnos, who's from Chicago, says her father and his longtime partner, Lottie, chose not to get married because Lottie would lose her former husband's pension money. Agnos says when her father died, Lottie was forbidden from making decisions about his funeral.
Lottie had to ask me. She couldn't make any of the arrangements for my father, and I thought that was awful. I thought that that was just not the right thing to do. She was his life partner. She knew what he needed best.
The sponsor of the legislation that would establish civil unions in Illinois says he plans to bring the matter before the Illinois House soon. It's likely to face fierce debate. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The Illinois Department of Agriculture has backed off a requirement that anybody showing livestock at state or county fairs must tell where the animal has been kept. But as Sean Crawford reports, lawmakers want to make sure the agency sticks by its decision.
Known as premises registration, it's considered the first step in a nationwide effort to better track disease outbreaks among animals. The Ag Department, in the wake of foreign outbreaks involving mad cow disease and more, took the voluntary program and made it permanent last fall. But that led to an outcry from those concerned about how the government might use the information, so the agency removed the requirement. Lawmakers are advancing legislation that would bar the agency from forcing premises ID unless federal authorities force the issue. Tom Jennings is acting director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture. He says he remains a supporter of the identification plan.
We can identify who owns them, where they are located, so that we can take the interdiction efforts necessary to quarantine the animals and stop the spread of any kind of disease, because there's a huge investment in animal agriculture here in Illinois.
Opponents to the requirement also say it could have impacted those in 4-H who show animals at fairs. Many of them rent farm space for livestock, and unless those farmers registered, the animals would be prohibited from entering into competitions. I'm Sean Crawford.
The University of Illinois School of Music will name 2 new faculty heads as a result of a gift from a distinguished alumna. Black Entertainment Television co-founder Sheila Johnson's $4 million donation will establish chairs in violin and jazz studies. Johnson came to the U of I in 1966, a time when race was still an issue in many places. But School of Music Director of Development Marla McDuffie says a couple of key people in Johnson's life helped her to become an inspiration to others.
The time that she was here in the late 60s was not necessarily the best environment for an African American student, particularly in the School of Music, because she was one of less than 5 African American students here, and so trying to negotiate that really required mentors.
Those mentors were Susan Starrett, a U of I graduate who was Johnson's orchestra director at a suburban Chicago high school, and Dan Perino, the longtime U of I faculty member behind the jazz ensemble Medicare 7, 8, or 9. Both have had chairs named after them. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Consumers are on heightened alert that the toys they give their loved ones may be harmful. Illinois lawmakers are attempting to keep a check on what's in children's toys. But as Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley reports, not everyone thinks their efforts are necessary.
Parents go to great lengths to protect their children from violent toys and choking hazards. But the biggest threat now may be in the things they can't see. Lead, mercury, and other widely used chemicals that may be present in toys are being linked to developmental disabilities, hyperactivity, and asthma in infants and children. Max Muller with the group Environment Illinois says the amount of toxic chemicals that can be found in children's items are dangerous for a developing body. To test his theory, he's charged up what's known as an X-ray fluorescence analyzer. It looks like a scanner from a grocery store, but it's designed to detect the presence of toxic chemicals. Muller aims the gun at a popular children's toy.
So right now it's scanning, it's shooting X-rays at Curious George's plastic face, and the X-rays are exciting atoms in his face, and the machine can read what elements are present in his face based on the wavelengths of the light emitted.
Muller says the Curious George doll has a high reading of lead. Other common chemicals called phthalates and bisphenol A are often part of the plastics used to make toys. They can also be found in many children's items, ranging from baby bottles to rubber ducks for the bathtub. Several lawmakers in Illinois have measures aimed at these so-called toxics. One requires manufacturers to find an alternative substance to phthalates. Another would eliminate bisphenol A from baby food containers. Naomi Jacobson, a Democratic representative from Urbana, is the sponsor of the ban on phthalates. As a grandmother, she says she worries about exposing her grandchildren to dangerous chemicals.
I have a big concern about these because, number one, this isn't design. It's not something that you would say, I'm going to buy a rubber ducky for my child because he or she needs something to put in his mouth. But look at the shape of this. The first thing a child might do is put it in a mouth, and there are phthalates in that.
But others say the hype doesn't match the danger. Mark Beal is the director of the Chemical Industry Council of Illinois. He says environmental advocates often skew the results in an attempt to scare the public.
Kids just don't put this in their mouth anywhere near enough to cause any potential risk or harm. They would literally have to start eating the rubber duckies. And as I've said, most kids aren't going to get past the first rubber duck.
Beal says the alternatives being talked about may not be as safe as the current substances being used. He says the X-ray fluorescence analyzer is useful in detecting lead, but misses the mark on phthalates and other common chemicals. He says the device cannot tell how much of a health threat the materials pose. Kathy Chan with the Illinois Maternal and Child Health Coalition says the consumer shouldn't have to do the math on what will harm young children. She says it's up to policymakers to set the guidelines for manufacturers.
And the vast majority of the tens of thousands of common chemicals in use in the modern world have never been screened for toxicity. Parents really shouldn't have to be chemists or scientists to ensure that their kids' toys are safe.
As states wait for the federal government to make tougher restrictions on what goes into children's toys, state lawmakers are the ones getting the ball rolling. Another measure in Illinois would place a warning label on items that contain nearly any amount of lead. Manufacturers say that could include almost all electronic toys. They're concerned about what effect the various plans could have on their bottom line. In the meantime, lawmakers say they understand the stress that recalls and warnings put on people. Representative Jacobson says she'll be happy for the day she doesn't have to second guess what she puts in her cart.
I have 11 grandchildren, and do I go to the store and see things and say, oh, this would be fun. I know Rachel would love the My Little Pony. And then I go, can I do that to her?
I'm Jenna Dooley.
Forecast from AM580 meteorologist Scott Olthoff calls for a partly sunny day today in northern Illinois, but northern Indiana and central Illinois will see mainly cloudy skies with scattered afternoon showers. In central Indiana and the south, partly cloudy or mainly cloudy with periods of rain and thunderstorms. Highs from 56 near Lake Michigan today to 66 in the far south, 62 in Champaign-Urbana, with showers likely in the afternoon. For tonight, mostly clear in the north. In central sections, a few evening showers and becoming partly cloudy. In the southern part of the two states, mostly cloudy with some showers. Lows from 43 north to 52 south, 45 in Champaign-Urbana, with a little bit of clearing after midnight. For tomorrow, in northern sections, partly sunny with a chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny with just a slight chance of a passing shower. And highs from 68 to 71. This has been the AM580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 15th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM580 News.